And let's stand again and read through the Beatitudes. I believe that would be fitting this morning. Matthew chapter 5, seeing the crowds, he went up the mountains. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." I'm the kingdom of heaven, excuse me. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Here's where we are today. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Father, we thank you this morning for these Beatitudes. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that we have as we come together and open. Lord, we have hearts to receive. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. And if you want to put a marker this morning in Matthew chapter 18, put a marker in Matthew chapter 18, then that'll be pretty much some of the main passages that we're going to follow this morning. I don't know about you, but as I've been restudying these Beatitudes, and again, the Beatitudes are about being, not doing. Hello? The Beatitudes are about being, not doing. Although, when you begin to be merciful, you will begin to show mercy, and you will do mercy. But it starts off with being merciful. It starts off with being poor in spirit. Okay? These are hard attitudes. And really, we kind of turn the road in these Beatitudes in that now we're starting to see these attributes that are truly the attributes of God. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Well, how many of you know God is righteousness? Today, "Blessed are those who are merciful." How many of you know God is mercy? These are attributes of God now that we're putting on, that Jesus is wanting us to act out in our lives and to see in our lives. And again, any good speaker gives up and he lays a basis for the rest of his message, right? Well, guess what Jesus is going to talk about later? He says, we're to love our enemies. Well, how many of you know we can't love our enemies if we're not merciful? Jesus is later on going to talk about, listen, it's not good enough to actually commit adultery, but if you look in your heart, then you've committed that sin. How many of you know, how are you going to be able to stay away from the temptation of that if you're not pure in heart? See, these are all, that's the foundation. And so today I'm going to ask us, are we merciful givers? Because it's one thing to have mercy, but unless we're actually giving, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, then we're really not being truly merciful. Now, here's what I learned a few years ago, and it helped me so much. So I want to quickly reiterate this, that if we're going to talk about God's mercy, before we can really appreciate God's mercy, we need to understand God's justice. And I put up on the screen, I think it's the next slide, where I give the definition of keep on going. Justice is giving a person what he deserves. How many of you know that's true? Justice is giving a person what he deserves. Today, as we talk about mercy, mercy is not giving a person what he deserves. But we have to realize that you can't hardly talk about mercy without talking about grace. Grace is giving a person what he doesn't deserve. And God is justice. And God is mercy. and God is grace. And I know some folks struggle with, how can God be 100% justice and yet still God can be 100% mercy? Well, it's just like because Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. It's just how he is. Now, God's laws, when he makes a law, he keeps it. How many of you know when he says in Romans, for the penalty of sin is death, he can't get around that law. It has to be fulfilled. The wages of sin, the penalty for sin is death. And because God created that law, he cannot bypass that law. So guess what God chose to do? Because he is a just God. Jesus, I need you to go and fulfill this law. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Jesus, I need you to pay the penalty of death so that the wages of sin is paid. You're going to pay the penalty for me. You're going to pay the penalty for every person who desires it. That's mercy. That's justice and mercy all at the same time, and grace. Because I deserved my penalty. My sentence was not heaven. But because of God's justice, now I have been sentenced. Or because of his mercy, I've been sentenced to heaven. His justice said I needed to go to hell. His grace, I surely didn't deserve that. Woo! This is it's such a wonderful thing to know. And again, we can't really appreciate God's mercy upon us till we understand and really understand his justice. Again, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just. That's his justice kicking in. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. That's a law of God, that he's going to uphold his end of the bargain every time I go to him and confess my faults and my mistakes. Every time I go before his throne of grace and say, God, I blew it again. I had a bad week. I had a bad day. I blew it again. I can go and I have this confidence. He says every time I go and do that, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Wow, we ought to give God a hand for that. Amen. Yeah, come on. Ephesians chapter 2, describing God, and I want you to see this morning, because as I read this scripture, it was just a fresh revelation of God's grace and mercy and his love for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, but God who is what? Rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. He just doesn't have a flow of mercy. No, God's mercy is so rich and so great. But notice how God is, why God is mercy. He's rich in mercy because of his great love. And this is key for us this morning. When we want to be merciful, the mercy of God only comes out through us from the love of God. Let me say that again. The mercy of God will come out through us because of the love of God. Amen? God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, because by grace, and then again, there's mercy and grace tied together. By grace, we have been saved. So we see a love that gives. That's what love does. It gives. Love doesn't just think about it, but love acts. True love, just it acts. Amen? Again, we sang it this morning. I'll declare it to you again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. God's love gives. And so when we have the love of God in us, we will also give. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there's a problem. As Jesus is talking to his disciples and talking to some folks in Matthew chapter 24, he says, but there's a problem about love. He says, because of lawlessness and iniquity, the love of many waxes cold. The love of many grows cold. And if people's love is growing cold, guess what is happening to their compassionate, tender hearts that you have to have mercy? It's not being shown. And so, we have to be about giving this mercy. Here's a question. So what are we giving? What is our lives as we're dealing with people, as we're dealing with family members? Because again, sometimes I think it's easier to give mercy to those outside your family. Then all of a sudden there's a higher bar that you set for those that you're really close to. That we're not near as merciful as we are to those that we meet that we're not so familiar with. I believe the reason so many Christians are not blessed, and again, here's the promise, blessed, happy are the merciful. There's a reason why so many Christians aren't being blessed and aren't so happy. It's because they're not really returning the love that they had been given. They're not returning that which was, again, think about the mercy that was shown towards me, towards you, when you stood before the Heavenly Father and said, man, I need your love in my life. I need your salvation. I need your Son Jesus in my life. I need you to forgive me of my sins and my mistakes and wash me clean. This week was going to be my real test. I knew I was going to be in the school. I knew I was going to be dealing with some kids that will test you to the every which way you can go. Particularly, I knew Tuesday I was 8th grade science. And I knew I need to try to balance justice with mercy. Was I going to be a merciful teacher? Or was it just going to be, and again, this week for me, potassium permanganate. Okay? Very volatile. I was coach most all week except for on Tuesday. I was 8th grade, and we were studying exothermic reactions. Okay? And so we're going to mix potassium permanganate with glycerin and produce a pretty stinking good exothermic reaction, wasn't it? But yet I knew I had some knuckleheads. You don't have to put your hand on. Who would want to try to feel how hot the exothermic reaction was or wanted to lean over to get a better view of this exothermic reaction? You know, now, for their safety. Now, but again, here's mercy. Mercy, for me, many times is putting myself in their shoes. Why are they acting? Why are they doing this? Why is this person being this way? And you try to put yourself in their shoes so you can better understand where they're coming from. And I remember when I was in the 8th grade, wasn't that far back that I was actually in school. And I remember how I acted in the 8th grade. And so I knew the excitement that when you walk into the room and you see the lab set up and you know you're going to set stuff on fire and have exothermic chemical reactions. Yes, is right. And so, but you know what? I knew I needed to balance my justice because after I warned them and said, you know, this is how we're going to conduct ourselves today. This is how we're going to use our safety goggles and our safety aprons, and we're going to do this, and we have to do this today for our safety. I know that after I laid down the law, there was not much room for any fudging the law because of their safety. But still, I wanted to make sure this week as I was dealing with kids that I continued to be a merciful person and that I would allow mercy to flow for those who might make a mistake in my classes. And it can be difficult, can't it, sometimes to show mercy after you've given them a first chance and a second chance, and they still want to go down the pathway of lawlessness. But yet God chose for us every time we come. Every time I come. Are we freshly realizing this today? Every time we come to his throne of grace, God doesn't say, "But I told you so. I've given you this chance before." No. God says, "I love you. I'm disappointed. But I love you. And I forgive you. And you're now righteous again. You're now justified. Just as if I'd never sinned." See, that takes, what does that take from God? It goes back to meekness, doesn't it? He has all the power in the world, but it's under great control. Hallelujah. Freely we've received, so freely give. Let's go to our parable here in Matthew chapter 18. Peter's going to start us off in verse 21. Oh, Peter. Peter, asking Jesus, "Jesus, how often should we forgive someone who sins against us? Seven times?" Oh, he thought he was being religious. He thought he was absolutely have raised the bar. "How many times should we forgive, Jesus, someone who does something against us? Seven times?" Jesus looks at Peter and the rest. "No, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Wow, is that even possible in a day to have somebody ought you, wrong you 490 times? "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring up his accounts to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him," and I'm reading out of the New Living here, "who owed him $1 million. And he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Just have a little patience with me.'" And now we see the act of mercy. "Then his master was filled with compassion for him, and he released him and forgave the debt." It is the true picture of mercy and grace. But Jesus doesn't stop there. "But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him just a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. The fellow servant fell down before him and begged, just like he did before the king, 'Please, be patient with me, and I will pay it.' But the man couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset, and they went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. The king called the man in whom he had forgiven, and these are the words: 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man." Again, this is Jesus' story, not Pastor Arlie's story. This is Jesus' story, not mine. "Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt." And Jesus, you got to just stop right there. You know what, Jesus? You could have just stopped right there and everything would have been okay. No, Jesus didn't just stop there. If you have your Bibles open, you see the next verse. That's what my Heavenly Father, again, who's he talking to? Peter and the disciples? That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Woo! This thing of mercy is serious business. We can't allow unforgiveness come into our hearts. We can't hold grudges. We can't hold these things. Because for sure, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to be blessed. But the promise Jesus gave is blessed, happy are the merciful. Now here's the reward. I love these Beatitudes because there's a reward for everyone. For you shall obtain mercy. That word, you shall obtain mercy, that means it's like an ongoing. It's just an ongoing process in your life. That as long as you give it out, God says, I'm going to be merciful to you. As long as you are compassionate and tenderhearted. And I want us to think this morning, what are the times when we find ourselves not being so compassionate? What are the times when we find ourselves not being so tenderhearted? What is it? For me, most of the time, it comes back when I'm tired. When I'm just walking around miserable, tired, and I tend to be very short on the mercy end, the compassion end, because I'm not myself. This thing is sleep, and the older you get, why is it so much harder to get good sleep the older you get? But I'm like, Lord, if I'm going to be with these kids, and again, I delivered the dinner this week to our coach who had his kidney out that I'm replacing, and I'm probably going to have to be him again this week. And I'm like, Lord, I thank you. And I'm starting to pray already. I'm thanking you for good rest so that when I wake up in the morning, I can be a merciful and a compassionate person that you want me to be. To the love, again, this love, if we're not giving, and again, who are we trying to reach as a church? Who are we trying to reach as believers? We're trying to reach the lost. We got to show mercy and grace to these people. Again, I called my leadership team up. I said, listen, I have an opportunity. I get to be in the press box Thursday night and call the football game so I can rub shoulders with some people who need the love of God. If I'm not, I ask the question, what are we giving? If I'm not out there mixing it up with people who desperately need the love of God and compassion and mercy, then I'm not fulfilling the Great Commission. And so I asked my leadership team, please, can we reschedule our meeting for Tuesday night so that I can do this Thursday night for the next few Thursday nights, the rest of football season. I got in there, and you know what happened? These guys around me started cussing. I said, guys, the microphone's on. You can't do that when the mic's on, you know. And they were just being themselves. Oh, man, I got to love on these guys. You know, I could have, you know, don't you know I'm a pastor? You know, I could have gave them that line when they started, you know, the language got a little bit rough. But I didn't do that. I didn't laugh with them or laugh at what they said. But what I was able to speak into them and to continue to love them and continue to show them, because I know that's what God does for me. And so I counted, it was an absolute blessing. Again, think about this. Happy, blessed and happy are the people who are merciful. When you give away the love of God, is there any greater feeling in the world when you leave? There's not, is there? When you bless someone who doesn't deserve to be blessed, and that's grace, there's something about just warms the cockles. I don't even say that's the right word. It warms the cockles of your heart, your soul. Here's what I'm believing. In the next few weeks, you're going to see one of those guys in the press box. You're going to see him here in Living Waters Fellowship coming to church. They don't know it yet. But I've sick the Holy Spirit on them. Because they know better. One of them for sure knows better. And so, now, let's close it up this morning. This is interesting, and this is going to bless you. For you will attain mercy. These words that Jesus chooses in the Beatitudes are amazing. Blessed are the merciful. Let me give you your Greek word for the week. Eleamon. Eleamon. And it happens to be two E's. You say that E as an A. Eleamon. It's only used two times in the Bible. Let's look at the scripture where this same word is used in Hebrews. Chapter 2, the exact same word, Eleamon. Therefore, in all things, Jesus was made like his brethren. Stand with me this morning. That Jesus might be a what? Merciful. There's the exact same word. So it's the only other time this word's used in the New Testament. That Jesus might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for all of our sins. Woo! That's almost worth giving God another hand for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have that same mercy so that you can go and make the payment, the propitiation for every time we mess up. That's why he is a merciful and faithful high priest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Happy. Has this blessed you this morning? I don't know. Maybe you're not getting anything out of this series, but for me, this is just, man, I just love getting reminded of these truths in my life. That I can be now the conduit of God's mercy. Because again, God has shown such great mercy to me, and now in turn, I get to turn around, and I get to be mercy. I get to be compassionate. I get to show grace, even though they don't deserve it, because I didn't deserve it. Now, as we close this morning, I want you to think of some folks that you're going to come in contact with this week, that you're going to have an opportunity to show grace and mercy. And you're going to get to be merciful this week. And you're going to be able to look at them and say, God, help me to understand what's going on in their lives. Help me to understand why they're acting like this, why they're doing these things. Lord, help me to walk in their shoes for just a little bit so that I can be merciful even as you were merciful to me, because I want that. I want to be blessed. I want the happiness. I want, and again, these are building blocks, aren't they? That as I become a merciful person, guess what's going to happen? The next verse is they're pure in heart. We become pure in heart. Isn't that what we all want? Well, this is the step forward, isn't it? Father, we thank you.